Hey, you guys, it's your boy Eli here, and I'm happy to announce that we will be part of Comic Palooza's podcast partnership program. And we will be there live in front of all of you guys, everyone who's be attending Comic Palooza on May 26th and 28th. We will be doing a live podcast episode in front of everyone and hope to see you all there. We will be doing some cool stuff there, and I hope to see you guys there. Hopefully, meet up with those. Anyways, guys, hope to see you guys there. Anyways, peace.
And welcome back to an episode of The Geeks and Jerrians. It's me, your boy, Eli.
Hey, it's me, Daniel.
Hey, yeah, we got Daniel back. Always good to have the boy back.
And you can't get rid of me, man, no matter how hard you try.
No, I can't. I honestly can't. I keep trying to kill you, and you keep coming back. Like...
Well, where was it going to go? Burbank?
Better than Albuquerque. And, yeah, so, you know, whenever we have Daniel, we always have a fun talk about video games because he's one of our video game guys. Recently, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago that we had Evo Japan?
Yeah, not too long ago. It happened recently.
Yeah. And at Evo Japan, not only did they announce some Tekken stuff, Leroy, Asuka, but they also revealed, hey, we're doing another Fighting EX Slayer. And if you don't know what that is, I'm going to let Daniel explain because I feel like he has more knowledge about it than I do.
Okay, so I haven't played the series myself quite yet, but I did hear it was pretty good. But in a nutshell, it's from the developers that actually made up the EX series for Street Fighter. You know, EX 1, 2, 3, well, maybe not 3, but the point is... they were responsible for the EX series that helped brought Street Fighter to the 3D landscape. And then, you know, years later, you know, since they don't really own Street Fighter, they decided to make their own fighting game. And that was called Fighting EX Slayer.
Mm-hmm. And they're a small Japanese...
And that's where we're seeing some of the... Yeah, like, it's a small, like, Japanese company, Arika. And, yeah, and some of the favorite EX Slayer characters are back, too, like Skullamania.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you recognize, like, a Skull, like... costume dude in fighting games, that's that guy. That's where he's from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, that led me to think about stuff, because wasn't that too long before that, we had some news about a MK12 coming out.
Yeah, so, like, it was some board, like, I don't know, investor meeting, just talking about some stuff. Oh, so we got some new stuff coming in, you know, new Shazam movie, another Batman movie, I think we got Mortal Kombat 12. I don't think we were supposed to announce that, but, you know, it's there. Just to let you know.
Yeah, that's funny how that was. It's like, oh, yeah, we're having the Suicide Squad. It's coming out this year. Also, MK12, and everyone's like, wait, what? When did this happen? <It's> just...
Yeah, and,
how does that happen?
Oh,
like, I get it. They're trying to announce everything, but I'm just like, how?
I don't know. When it comes to video games, they're not really as... I mean, they can be really secretive, but they're not just they're not always secretive. For example, Norman Reedus, he was just nonchalantly, you know, telling, oh yeah, like, so we were doing some stuff for Death Stranding too, and then like you hear, like, from the other side of the planet, Kojima's cringe, he's like, you weren't supposed to tell people that.
Oh, yeah, he did do that. I forgot about that. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah, so people like that are working with video games that don't really have a big knowledge of the industry, they're more likely just to nonchalant announce stuff.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with that, and obviously Tekken 8 was announced not that long ago, Street Fighter 6 is coming out, and I think there's another fighting game that I think it's coming out too, that's like really popular. Or did I mention?
I don't remember. I know there was a lot of announcements from SNK, from Evo Japan as well, like KOF 13 getting a re-release with Rollback. Let's see, another free DLC character for 15. Mm-hmm. I think we got our first look up Sylvia Paula Paula there too, right?
I think that's what it was, yeah. Rollback with some stuff. And so that's kind of where the gist of this episode is going to be about, is are we in a new era of fighting games now? For some people, that's kind of a weird thing to say. But you didn't. But you have to, you know, hear us out in that there was a time where fighting games were kind of like a barren wasteland. There was no fighting games coming out. Well, they were, but they weren't like, they didn't get the attention they usually get, like nowadays, especially with like Street Fighter VI. Because.
No, yeah, it's kind of funny when you think about it. It's almost like the gaming industry itself. You know, like fighting games first started, it got really popular. People started falling into trends, and they're making their own fighting games. Some were good, some not so good. And then eventually, it just stopped. And then one specific era, you know, specifically the PS2, GameCube, and Xbox era, there was pretty much almost nothing. If you're looking for fighting games, the best bet was either Tekken or Mortal Kombat. Even Street Fighter was very sparse, and most of the time it was just you know, fighting game collections, and that was about it.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until the 360 PS3 era that we got Street Fighter 4, which was like...
Yeah, and that which was pretty much made it popular again, and we were entering like a golden era. Like, we're starting to see Street Fighter back. We saw Mortal Kombat go back to, about, you know, the roots, going back to the normal 2D fighter instead of a 3D open arena kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also... Pretty much the popularity of like online play as well. Granted, it was delay based, but you know, it was better than nothing at the time. This was way before Rollback was later created, but it's one guy for Skullgirls.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing that, you know, for a lot of people who aren't that into gaming or into a different aspect of gaming, kind of need to understand is that, you know, for this is a community centered around fighting games. You will have those communities that will still, like, very much die hard. Like, you'll still have those, like, there's still Third Strike players, guys. That's weird. And for a lot of you guys...
No, yeah, like, there still are.
Yeah, there's...
Like, I mean, it used to be big on 360 and PS3 with Third Strike Online, which I still believe is probably the best version of Street Fighter 3 we'll ever get.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, time moves on. People, you know, jumped over to PS4, Xbox One. But people sort of... They just got on their PCs to download Fightcade and started playing Third Strike with each other online.
Oh, yeah. Remember when, and this is not to dog on the game, because I really do love Marvel Infinite, Marvel Skycon Infinite. But it's, when that game wasn't what people wanted it to be, people immediately jumped back onto Ultimate Marvel 3. It was like night and day. Now, that's kind of the way the fighting game community is. They will support a dead game. a dead game, I would say.
I mean, the community will be small over time, but you know, there's always gonna be that passionate fan base.
Mm-hmm. And so, the reason we talk about like a new era of fighting games, because that's when like a lot more people came in. You didn't see just the old guard; you saw like a new generation of players. You had like Pumko, and was Tokido one of them? I want to say he was.
Let's see. Sorry, say that one more time.
Like, I'm talking about like because you know when Street Fighter 4 came out, it was considered the new era of fighting games because not only did we get like that, we also got a lot of cool stuff, Tekken and all that, like you were saying earlier. But it also means that we got a new generation of players coming in.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like same ones from before as well. Like, I mean, we all knew about, you know, Justin Wong, Daigo. I mean, they've been playing it, you know, in a small niche community before the whole, you know, big burst in new generation of fighting games were coming out, and all the old ones came back. People saw their skills. I want to be just like them, and so they started, you know, grinding and, you know, trying to, you know, be the best as they can, just like them.
Yeah, and like it's funny that we're talking about it, that specific era of fighting games too. That was also the era where like a lot of stuff that would eventually be like online streaming, like YouTube and all that stuff, where people will post their combos and so. That's kind of like why that era, that specific era, was like so important for a lot of like fighting game community guys, and like I guess we can call them historians, I guess.
Like, probably, I guess.
Yeah, right. Like, how would you label that?
Yeah, it's. I don't know what would you label that.
No, I don't. But to the point is that that's when the community starts to really grow and expand. People start to realize, oh, you can do this, so you can do that. You can probably make a living, really, at the time, but now you can, it's 50-50.
I mean, it's still a bit hard, but that might change soon.
It might change soon. because Street Fighter 6. And ironically, it's always Street Fighter that brings back the love of fighting games. Funny. It's funny how that works, because like 4 was the one that brought it back. 5 was a... Would you consider disappointing when it came out?
It just varies, but we were look back on it in a way, kind of, yeah, it was more heavily geared toward the more extreme hardcore players, because mm-hmm. Single player modes were pretty much non-existent. I think the only modes you had were like maybe a short like 5 battle story mode for each character, just training, and then I think an endless mode, and that's about it.
Yeah, I think the Street Fighter V era was more centered around those games that you wouldn't normally hear about, right? Because I feel like that was the era that people got really into, like, Guilty Gear, Blaze Blue, Killer Instinct, obviously. Like, Little Girls. Like, that was the era of the rise of the independent fighting games.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, first it started out with Skull Girls. We're starting to see it with some other series as well. I forgot what's the name of this one, but it was like an indie game fighter. It had like Isaac from The Binding of Isaac, Shovel Knight.
Why does that sound
familiar? Excuse me. I'm going to look that up. I don't remember the name of that one, but you know what I'm talking about.
But to the point is, like, you know, don't get me wrong, like, you still had like big name titles. Games like Street Fighter, Tekken, Mortal Kombat, obviously, but you also had like these rise of these games, because like you never would have figured that Skullgirls, a game that is like really good, really fast paced, and like really fun, to be that popular. And it was people have been banging that game to be on Evo for so many years. And I think it was last year that we had it. I know we had it this year, but I'm pretty sure last year was another one too. Offer for Evo, obviously, but yeah, you would never don't see games like this have such a popularity. And if it wasn't, ironically, it wasn't for like the unpopular opinions of Street Fighter V that would bring those in.
Yeah.
Did you ever find out the game yet, or no?
Oh yeah, I have. It was Blade Strangers.
Okay. So yeah, we had those kind of games, and now we're to the point where we're getting at is that with Street Fighter VI on the horizon, not only for one, if you are that good and able to compete in Capcom Cup, their circuit, you can get how much money was it again, Daniel? How much
money? 1 million.
A million, they say. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this is the biggest one, because I think the biggest price pool we've ever seen for fighting games was maybe about 500 grand, and that's for like it was either Mortal Kombat or Injustice from the MLG, I think.
I think you're right. Yeah, that sounds about right. But like,
yeah, because most of the time you don't really see pools that big for like fighting game tournaments in general.
Yeah, like I think the one for Evo this year is going to be what, 15K?
I believe so. Let me just double check.
Yeah.
Let's see, actually.
That's one that, just for like one, you're getting in a million, the popularity of idea of like winning $1 million for Street Fighter VI. Oh my God. And not to mention like the
25K.
Oh, 25K. Never mind. I was lowballing that one really bad. But like the amount of promotion Street Fighter VI is getting and a lot of interest people having about that game, the amount of insane looking stuff they're doing with Tekken 8. Mortal Kombat is going to be Mortal Kombat. People have been begging for a new NRS game. The fact that yesterday's State of Play, we were all hoping to see that, but we're not. We didn't. It was a Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was just a Final Fantasy 16 focused one. NRS fans, they're still waiting. Hope they're okay. Just be a little bit more patient. I know it's hard.
Listen, we love you all. We love you, NRS fans. We love you guys. Without you guys, we wouldn't have Injustice or MK. So please, be okay.
I totally get it, man. Like, it's tough. You want just us Nintendo fans. I remember like it was like the biggest drought for like Nintendo news, and I think I don't know, maybe half a year for another Nintendo Direct they had to wait for.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I remember that time. Jesus, I felt like forever. Even the Legend of Zelda stuff that came out like a week or two, like 2 days ago, I was like, oh god.
Oh yeah.
That was that took forever.
Yep.
Yeah, but give it time, guys.
Yeah, Tears of the Kingdom's gonna be soon.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, just wait it out. I'm sure you'll love it as soon as the it comes out, you know, showing up all the stuff they have planned for it.
And like that brings me back to finding EX Layer and like the stuff with KOF, because I couldn't imagine like there being another EX Layer game or them bringing back KOF their team with Rollback, even though I still question the fact that it's on PS4 and Switch.
I mean. Oh, wait, it's not on Xbox either?
No, it's just PS4 and Switch.
Wow. That's weird. I thought they would have brought it over because, you know, Microsoft's been pushing their the Xbox in Japan, but, huh.
I don't know, man. But, you know, to more to the point is that, so the question now is this going to be the next era of fighting games? Now, obviously, I think the game that kind of held it out for the most right now was Guilty Gear. I know for some people that's kind of like, eh, but it's doing a lot of stuff I feel that is very welcoming to new fans and like sort of setting the bar that I think we'll eventually see other games try to top, especially with the online play, even though currently right now the online play for Guilty Gear is a little... It ain't good.
I mean, they're working on it. They came out, they said they might have found the problem and just to give them a little bit more time to fix it. So, yeah, like, not good right now, but hopefully they can get it done soon.
And when it first came out, I was shocked by the online, how good that was. Lobbies are still kind of questionable, yes, but, like, the rollback on that game was just so good. So good.
Like, it's so buttery smooth.
It is. It's like... I think it's like a couple frames delay, like, but like, you know, when the second beta that came out, I tried it out and I played it. I told the story many times. I played it against a Japanese server. I've met, you know, some Japanese players, played it, and I'm like, oh my god, this is like so good. I'm over here living in Texas, all the way like across, like on the other side of the pond, you find like Japan, and I'm playing a dude. Get Soul versus Ramothal, and I got my ass kicked, and I'm like, oh my god, but that felt so good. That was so crisp. So crisp. But yeah, no.
Yeah, man, like, it's...
Go for it.
No, like, it's crazy how far we've gone. I mean, like, especially, like, even before 360, I think the original Xbox had some fighting games that you could play online, and you could tell it was very rough, but it was the best you could do at the time. So it's a... We came a long way.
Yeah, we came a long way. So that's why I think, like, if we're talking about, like, what specifically these different eras of, like, fighting games have done for the community. Because, you know, I think it's, you know, Street Fighter 2 started the whole thing. Not to say there wasn't other fighting games, but, like, that set the standard. And then, you know, Street Fighter 4 was, like, the rejuvenation because, like, around between 2 and 4... was kind of the rise of the 3D fighting games. So Tekken, Virtual Fighter, Soul Calibur, those were the rise of those kind of games.
Yeah.
Which hopefully, by the way, I hope we see more Soul Calibur. I love Soul Calibur. I'm not good at it, but I like it.
I mean, I hope we get to see some more, because I know, like, it didn't do as well as Namco. I hoped it would, but hopefully we'll still see more of Soul Calibur stuff.
It did better than 5, as I recall.
Yeah. And, I do hope Virtual Fighter will make a return. Like, I'm glad I brought back 5 again.
It did well.
What?
I think it did well, but it's...
No, yeah, like...
Go ahead.
Like, it did well, but, like, Sega was like, yeah, so Virtual Fighter 5 re-release is doing great. We have a lot of people playing, and that's it. It's like, so you're not making a Virtual Fighter 6 or something? There's nothing to say at this time.
Nothing to say at this time, and especially after, like, I think Virtual Fighter 5 at Evil Japan one of the higher entries? Like, there were a lot more number of entries in there? I just imagine.
Probably. I know Let me see. Let me take a look at that.
Yeah.
Evil Japan.
Because that's a good way to know. Because like, you gotta remember, Virtua Fighter was the one before Tekken. They set the standard, and then Tekken came in and just like, hey, this is how it is now. And so it's always been a back and forth. Any news?
Wait, sorry, I was busy looking, trying to find out like how many people entered. What'd you say?
No, I'm just talking about the similarities of Virtual Fighter and Tekken, how they kind of always balance back and forth. I think I've always played more.
Oh yeah.
Than Tekken, to be honest.
No, yeah, because Virtual Fighter was the reason why we have Tekken to this day. Even Harada himself said, you know, Tekken heavily is influenced and borrows a lot from Virtual Fighter, and so now that, you know, Virtual Fighter has been dormant for a while, like, he and his team were like, what do we look for inspiration now? I mean, they haven't made another game in a while.
No, yeah. And, like, if you play Virtual Fighter, it's very different than Tekken. It's, oh my god. I was playing Virtual Fighter 5 the other day, and I was like, yeah, this is different. This is different. I'm playing Hellblaze, and what's his name, the dude with the red hood? Blonde dude? Is it Johnny?
You mean Jackie?
Jackie, yeah, there we go. I know it started with a J. I was like, yo, these guys I like Hellblaze. I like Jackie.
Yeah.
They're so good. Obviously, you know, we're getting a lot of games that have been dormant for a long time coming back, and the rise of what essentially is rollback. So obviously it feels like we're getting into that new era, because Street Fighter VI is like, yeah, we're doing rollback, also we're doing crossplay. And that's something that like is very needed for a fighting game nowadays, because as much as we're talking about like the new era, there's a new generation coming, we're still a niche genre, guys.
No, yeah, so crossplay is a very big deal, because you gotta understand, what most of the time, one console base, player base will be bigger than the other, and that can be a real issue, especially when it comes to fighting games, especially since, you know, they're niche.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Persona 4 Arena, when it first came out on PS3 and 360, obviously there was going to be a bigger player base on a PlayStation side, because it was mostly a PlayStation series at the time, and so, like, the player base for Xbox was incredibly small. And so, if it had crossplay, it'd be great, because then both consoles would be sharing the same ecosystem, and then you'll have like a large amount of players to play with. But yeah, at the time, you have to be like wary of where you want to play your games at, because depending on the player base, it might be good or not good.
I mean, look at, we're using Street Fighter 5 again as an example. That was mostly PlayStation in a couple of years, and then it went to Steam.
No, like it came out on Steam at the same time, I believe. But yeah, like I could have sworn, because I know PlayStation, they made it exclusive to their consoles, mm-hmm. but they weren't allowed to do it on PC. But Street Fighter V was the first crossplay game allowing you to play, you know, people on PlayStation or on PC. Mm-hmm. And then later on, we started, thanks to Fortnite, out of all the games that would have helped, you know, bring crossplay into the normalcy of gaming today, mm-hmm. is Fortnite. So thanks to them, we're starting to see a lot more fighting games to do all the crossplay too, like Mortal Kombat 11, King of Fighters 15. They're about to do it soon, so now you can play with, you know, Xbox, PlayStation, PC.
And thank God for that, because like I like KOF 15, but I can't find anyone to play with online.
It's not you. It's just that the online's kind of weird, and people's been vocal about it, so. We don't know when SNK is going to address it, but all we know is that they're kind of aware of it and are looking into it.
And just to let you guys know, I have it both on two consoles. I still can't find shit.
Granted, yeah, so I can find a little hopefully more. Hopefully SNK fixes that too.
But yeah, SNK, please.
No, yeah, so, you know, again, like, I don't want to say, you know, like, they're learning costuming dead years to learn how to make a good file online, you know, for fighting games, but you got to keep in mind, like, we're just getting rollback netcode into games now, thanks to, I don't want to say thanks to, because it was a bad time, but because of COVID,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, it was the...
Yeah, because of COVID, it realized...
It was the moment that.
So yeah, basically, like COVID, they realized, you know, people, they're not going to in person fraternities anymore, and they realized, you know, because of how big different places are. Again, like the United States, it's a one big country, 50 different states, and especially some of the states are so large. I mean, take Texas, for example. I mean, you can fit, like, I don't know how many European countries in it. That's how big of a space it is. Yeah. And then, again, with Europe, it's one big giant continent. And so, yeah, like, different friends from different countries. It's going to be, like, a big, a noticeable, you're pretty much going to notice, like, the lag because of how far your friends are.
He's not wrong, guys. I mean, Texas is a big place. And half the time, we're not able to, like, communicate with each other. Daniel, did you know that Multiblood and all those kind of anime games have been very popular in Texas? I didn't know this at all.
I mean, I'm aware they have like a dedicated base, but yeah.
I was talking about this with some guys at a local. We're like, yeah. So apparently, Texas is a big anime fighting game scene. And I'm like, when did this happen?
Yeah, it's weird about, like, you know, learning about some stuff. Like, I remember here in Katy, there was, like, a small, like, a Smash Brothers scene. I don't know what happened with them. They just stopped, you know, doing it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, there's always, like, some kind of scene going on in Texas.
Yeah, he's not wrong, guys. But to the point where you were saying, like, it wasn't for, like, that situation happening that people started to realize, oh, you know, crossplay is a thing that we desperately need in fighting games. And it's not like we didn't have it. Killer Instinct was probably one of the best examples of having rollback. And it was so good that a lot of people, I think the player
base. And they had the fun for it too.
The player base jumped when that stuff happened. Because they were realizing, oh, this thing has, like, really good rollback. And we can all play online.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, go for it.
Like, it was just incredible. Like, I also was saying, like, the guys at Iron Galaxy had to fight for it because they were saying, okay, so we're going to make it this fighting game, and then we're going to just put it online, and we'll call it a day. And then one of them was like, no, this is going to be the sole fighting game that people are going to be playing on Xbox. So we want to make sure we get this online right.
Mm-hmm. And God, was it good. Yeah. So now we have that base as for, like, what this new era could mean. Better online, ability to play with other friends, to, you know, expand the community in a sense. And I think that's where this new era is going to eventually be moving towards, especially, you know, Tekken has also announced that they're doing crossplay. They also have a, you know, rollback. You know, Mortal Kombat has rollback too. It's only given a matter of time when that one has, like, full crossplay.
Not yet. No, that's what they confirmed as well, because Harada actually tried to talk with PlayStation to allow crossplay for Tekken 7, but, you know, at the time, no. You know, we just want to keep people on our side.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and again, thanks to Fortnite, now we're getting crossplay in Tekken 8.
Yep. Thanks to Fortnite. And this other... I just realized this is another game we forgot to mention. Project L.
That is a... No, that's funny. Like, not only should we mention Project L, but also, strangely enough, I know, like, there's kind of a big controversy because it's being pulled down and not returning until next year. Multiverses.
Yeah, Multiverses. Like, I mean, Multiverse is a really good fighting game, from my understanding. I haven't played it yet.
I mean, I haven't played it the way it was meant to be played. It was supposed to be specifically a 2v2 fighter, but there's a 1v1 mode that you can play. That's how I mostly played it. But yeah, like, basically the point is it's supposed to be 2v2. But the reason I brought up Multiverses along with Project Gal is because we're now seeing, like, companies trying to do a free-to-play kind of model. For fighting games.
That's right.
Project L, they haven't announced it. We don't even know if they're going to do a free-to-play model, but we do know they're doing a 2v2 file, you know, fighting game similar to like a MVC 1.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's free to play, and that's always been like a questionable area for some people because concerning. And I trust Project, the guys at Riot, because they make League of Legends, and that's a free to play game. And if they can follow a similar model, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, because there's only one other fighting game I can think of, but I don't even know if you might remember it. It was called Tekken Revolution.
I've heard of it, never played it.
I played it. It's like a very streamlined, very like a super baby level Tekken game. Because the way how it works is that it plays like Tekken, but you could also level up your character. So the more money you spend, the more you could upgrade their strength and, you know, make them stupidly powerful online.
Ah, okay, it's one of those. But yeah, I think I heard that one was also like free to play. But yeah, yeah, go for it.
It's such a it was just a weird game because like I wanted to try Tekken for the first time. I was like, okay, and that was my first introduction to it. It was like, I'm pretty sure Tekken doesn't play like this.
Doesn't sound like it, man. Hopefully, Tekken.
Yeah. And that was like my first exposure to like this weird system where like each match you play, you lose like your play tokens or energy, and then once you run them out, you gotta wait like 30 minutes to get another one. It's like, no. It's not what I want in a fighting game. I want to keep playing.
No, we don't want any of that. Have we learned nothing?
But yeah. But yeah, like Project Gale's coming. We don't know if they're doing free to play yet, but we know like they got some of the top people, you know, working on it. And they have like a very unique system when it comes to online too. I mean, they're aware they have to use rollback, but they're also doing some other things that no fighting game has done before. I'm not sure if you remember in one of the videos, the way they handled, you know, like rage quitting, for example. So all of their games are done through like at Riot Studios, you know, servers. And so because all the people are connected through the servers, they know who's connected and who's not. So once they detect someone, you know, disconnects in the middle of a match, they know that person rage quitted and he will lose whatever points or stuff they'll be using for like ranking matches or anything like that online. While the person that stayed connected, they'll just get the whatever, you know, points or whatever for staying in the game and not rage quitting.
Mm-hmm. I do remember that here, and that's really interesting. Because sometimes I'm not even rage quit. Sometimes we just have bad connections.
No, yeah, and keep in mind, like most of the time, it's peer to peer. There's almost never a server for fighting games.
Mm-hmm. Until now.
Yeah.
but yeah, there's a lot of potential of stuff to come out for now when it comes to fighting games. It's the reason why I decided to make this episode is because the community itself is a very interesting thing to see. There's a lot of support for, you know, games that you don't think there'd be support for. I mean, this is support for, was it Def Jam? Live from New York?
Oh, no, yeah. Dude, Def Jam is awesome, man. If you haven't played it yet, you probably may have to emulate it, because last time I checked, a copy of that on GameCube was $200.
Yeah, I ain't doing that shit. Go for it.
As you were saying, like, you know, there's always a small fan base for fighting games out there, and, yep, it's kind of weird. We're also entering like a new age of Marvel vs. Capcom 3, because now we're seeing people modding the game where you have like different characters in it now. Like they added in Rashid, Venom, and Carnage,
Gambit, Cyclops,
Sura
from Sura's Wrath.
Yeah, and what's really weird is like at first they were just using basically the models that was already in the game for the characters like Spider-Man or Ryu or Akuma. But now they finally figured out how to make like their own models and import them into the game as their own character.
Yeah, so like that's what I'm saying. Like the community is interesting in itself, and it's interesting to see how the community changes and adapts as like the new stuff keeps happening. Like we said, Street Fighter 2 set this groundwork, the rise of a lot of different fighting games. A lot of people want to get into fighting games. Then we get the rise of like 3D fighting games. Now with Street Fighter 4. It's the return of fighting games, that everyone's coming back in, and there's a new generation of people. The rise of online play, especially during that era. We got a rise of independent fighting games like Skullgirls, KI, I would say, I would kind of consider it independent, if I'm being honest. Yeah, it's owned by Microsoft, but like it was made by a small studio. And now with like, now with rollback and crossplay and this sort of idea of like kind of bringing everyone together, that's kind of a thing that I think it's really going to be interesting to see where this community goes from here on out, especially with this, with the, you know, Street Fighter 6 again and Tekken 8 and all this stuff coming out. Hopefully, I mean,
yeah,
praying to the fighting game gods out there, we get return of like a lot of classic games. I know it's impossible because, you know, some of these companies just don't want to put, you know, time to see if these games will do well, like that, like Darkstalkers. But I listen, I'd buy it. You at least got one person
buying. I mean, it took a while, but we finally got it thanks to the Capcom Fighting Collection. Like, we literally got all the Darkstalker games, including the ones that were only in Japan.
We also got was it Cyberbots? No, was it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Cyberbots. Yeah. That was in it. And weirdly enough, it was a Puzzle Fighter, and I forget what was the actual name, but I know it was Gem Fighter in Japan, I think.
Yeah. Was it, No, I think that was Pocket Fighter. Or am I thinking...
No, yeah, it was called Pocket Fighter. What was it, Pocket Fighter in English? I think it was Super Gem Fighter in Japan.
We'll check it out later.
Yeah, but the point is, you know, like the Street Fighter, we got almost all of the Capcom games. Literally, the only thing missing was just JoJo, and unfortunately, you don't have the rights for that. You want a JoJo game, you gotta go to Namco now.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Namco, be some cool guys. But yeah, no, I think we're... in that era of new fighting games, it's a wait and see how it turns out. But for the most part, I'm hopeful. Everything came out pretty well, and it naturally transitions to the next thing.
Yeah. Oh, dude. You know, we were talking about like how things are evolving. We never talked about one of the biggest factors in fighting games: the controller.
Oh, yeah, all the different controller types out there.
Whew. Yeah, I mean, we know your basic stuff, like this one right here.
The man's pulling out a Kwamba.
This is your average fight stick. This is pretty much like the one people would get most of the time. But now, they're looking at different options. So instead of a fight stick or using a gamepad controller, you got different stuff now, like a hitbox, which is literally like a fight stick, but it's only buttons.
And then you got what's the one that has the WSD buttons in there?
I think that one's called a mix box.
Yeah.
A mix box, yeah.
You still have the, like, the six button layer.
Like that, if you.
With like a
yeah, so if you want like a hitbox style controller or something for like a 3D fighter like Tekken, mm-hmm. I would recommend getting the mix box. And that caused a whole new debate about, you know, whether these controllers give them an advantage or not, but that's a whole different conversation for another day. But basically, the point is that, you know, we're also evolving outside of the game with controllers as well. So people will use their keyboards in a specific way, go for hitboxes, mixboxes, or hurtboxes if you're insane enough.
Yeah, and if you're clever and imaginative enough, steering wheel.
Oh, that's right. A guy won an XR Rev 2 tournament with a steering wheel.
Or a Guitar Hero guitar.
And if you're wondering if he actually had to turn the wheel, no, he did not. He used a control pad on the wheel.
He did. That's just so funny. But yeah, no, we are in the precipice of a new era in fighting games. And for you guys, it's like wondering how we were able to talk about this much, because like it's happened before, and it's like, you know, it's the community itself has always been a very interesting community, and that's kind of like where most of it, kind of where we come from with that. But yeah, I think it's a really good place to end the episode on. If you guys enjoyed what you heard, be sure to follow us on all social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, at The Geek Historians. And be sure to follow us on Instagram, where we're most active on. You'll find a link to the podcasting sites we're part of, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, all that. Like, we have a link to the YouTube for all you audio listeners out there who want to put a face to the voice. That's where we'll be. Like, comment, subscribe. We also have a Patreon. It's just really there if anyone wants to support us in any form or way. But yeah, also, happy to announce that we are partnered with Comic Palooza this year, Comic Palooza 2023, for their podcast partnership program. We'll be there live.
So wait. Hold up. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, you heard that right. We're going to have a live session at Comicpalooza. By this point, I've already made like a pre-recorded thing, but I'm always going to be throwing it out there until the day we are there. But we will be having a live episode in front of everyone. Hopefully, we'll see you guys there. Hopefully, you guys will be joining us there. Because ideally, we want to do it like an interactive thing. It's like, you guys can say stuff. We will say, you know, we'll respond back. You guys can be part of the conversation because that's what we always like to have. But yeah, thank you guys for checking us out. Hopefully, we'll see you at Comicpalooza this year. May 26th to 28th. And yeah, keep playing them fighting games. It's been me, your boy Eli.
Yeah, it's your boy Daniel.
And yeah, you guys have a good one. Peace.